I'm John Batchelor, Behind the Black, 16 years of Behind the Black, and your subscriptions are generous, $2, $3, or $4 a month for Behind the Black and commercial space. But there's an element of spectacle about space, and NASA's going to participate, led by a new administrator, Jared Isaacman, who's a very brave man and very accomplished spacewalker and astronaut. At the same time, he's making choices. Those choices have to do with commercial space. And number one commercial space is waiting for Starship. Bob, a very good evening to you. 16 years of waiting for Starship. Are we going to wait another year? Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, John. Nope, I think things are going to happen. One way or the other, they will be happening. I want to once again thank your listeners for their donations of all kinds, as well as their subscriptions. It's really appreciated. Keeps me above water. They tried to launch Starship Super Heavy last week, and they had a launch abort at T-minus 0 seconds. Several of the engines didn't light. They have now rescheduled that launch for this coming Thursday, July 23rd. At 5:45 p.m. Central Time, which is the same time, they got a 90-minute launch window. And so I've got links on Behind the Black. I've got actually embedded videos for live streams from three different locations. So if you want to listen to it or watch it from multiple places, you can. I'm also going to post the SpaceX live feed, its live feed, when it becomes available. So this should be interesting, John, and it's hopeful. I really think the odds are very high they will get this mission off and they will have a success. But once again, it's a developmental program. This is not an operational rocket. These are prototypes being developed. And so things can go wrong. And when they go wrong, it's not a disaster. It is figuring out what you haven't got right so you can fix it. So we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. If it's successful and they complete this low orbit flight, landing in the Indian Ocean, and they get all their targets completed, SpaceX has made it clear it's going to do it. The next flight, the 14th flight, will be orbital. And the flight after that will likely involve two Starships attempting refueling in orbit. And they want to do that before the end of the year.
The 13th Starship, is that number three of the Starships, the third iteration?
All right, to be precise, it's version three in design. It's a major upgrade, but it is the 20th prototype of the Starship. I'm sorry, it's the 40th prototype of the Starship, and it's the 20th prototype of Super Heavy. In other words, they've gone through 20 and 40 different vehicles over the years in all their testing as they go. But this is version 3. It's a significant upgrade from previous flights. They flew this on flight 12, and this will be the second flight of version 3.
India had a big space program looking to go private. How, Bob?
All right, so I got three India stories here, John. I'm going to do them all together. First, the Modi government in India has been trying to make the transition that NASA and the United States has been doing for the last 15 years. They're trying to transition from having ISRO, its space agency, own, build, design, and run everything, to turning it into merely a customer that would buy products from the private sector. Go to the capitalism model. But to do that, you got to develop a private sector. And of course, this takes time. SpaceX, it took almost a decade before SpaceX was really going full bore. And so this past weekend, the first successful launch of a private rocket from India occurred. The company is a startup named Skyroot. Their rocket is called Vikram 1, and they had a successful launch. And this is actually a spectacular achievement. They had a completely successful launch, no problems. It was the very first launch, and that is rarely done. Most of the time, especially with startups, first launch does not succeed. But they had everything right, got it into orbit, actually got some small commercial payloads into orbit. So they're now primed to start filling the desperate need for launch capabilities. It's a small rocket, so it's not going to be able to match the Falcon 9, but there are a lot of, it's kind of more competitive with Rocket Lab's Electron rocket, but there's demand for this, and SpaceX is beginning to edge out of that business, and so there's demand, and they'll get business, and it's a very good thing. Now, in India, two events happened. One has to do with space, with the private sector. The Modi government has created a agency called InSpace, designed, this is in parallel to its space agency. This InSpace agency is designed to encourage the private sector. It has a investment fund of $200 million. It announced it has issued its first private investment to a private company, a satellite company in India, $7 million. Not a lot of money, but they're trying to encourage private enterprise there by doing that. So that's the private sector thing. And this is in line with what the, with Skyroot. This is the kind of thing that will get that private sector going to replace ISRO. But in the meantime, the, India's government did another thing that was completely counterproductive. A lot of people have been leaving ISRO to go into the private sector because the pay is good. They say they lost about 100 to 120 engineers, scientists, and managers in the last few months. And so what did they decide to do? ISRO has decided to restrict the ability of employees to leave. They now cannot leave without permission, which, of course, is an absurd claim thing to do. It's not going to work. It's going to discourage people from working from ISRO. It's going to... it's going to make people not want to work very well for ISRO, but they've now restricted the ability of space agency employees to leave. And so they can have the people there to help them build ISRO's space station and Gaganyaan manned capsule. Now, yes, they have these major projects, but this is not the way to do it. And I can't tell you how it's going to play out.
That's bizarre, Bob. It's discontinuous from any other space agency's approach. Very odd.
It's very similar to what Soviet Union did in its days. You could not leave a job without permission. Of course, you know, there was where you're going to go. Everything's government owned. This is a case of ISRO fearing competition and trying to protect itself. Can't do it in the long run.
All right. But still, the way you grow an industry is you let people leave and found another company. Or
you're right. It's totally counterproductive. I'm surprised the Modi government went along with this, but it did.
NASA, Draper, iSpace, what happened?
All right, so iSpace is the Japanese company that has tried to land twice on the moon. They came close both times, but failed. They've got more lunar landers in the works, two contracts with Japan to lunar landers, but they had a contract with NASA for a lunar lander. But the contract, the lead company in that contract was an American company, Draper. I suspect what happened is in order to win the contract from NASA and get American money, the Japanese company had to have an American lead company in the contract. iSpace has an American division, but it's still not, I don't think, sufficient. And so they had partnered to do this and they had a contract. Well, this past week, NASA basically terminated that contract. iSpace announced that NASA and Draper had mutually agreed to end the contract. And so that project is canceled. Now, iSpace is building the lunar lander. I mean, he was doing all the work. Draper was really not doing very much. It doesn't have any experience. Draper had no experience in lunar landers. Well, iSpace did. And so I have suspect that iSpace will maybe want to try to bid for NASA contracts. I don't know what the legal situation is in terms of NASA awarding contracts to a Japanese company. Japan is a partner in ISS and in the Artemis program. Japan is a signer of the Artemis Accords. I would think they could conceivably award a contract, but it's probably more complicated because it's kind of like foreign aid. And NASA is kind of obliged to give contracts to American companies first. We'll have to see how this plays out.
Everybody wants their own constellation of satellites for communication like Starlink. Even Russia. What have they done, Bob?
All right, so Russia has been trying to launch its own Starlink-type internet constellation. It's called Rasvet. It's supposedly being built and launched by a pseudo-private company called Bureau 1440 in Russia. But as we know, in Russia, there's no such thing as a private company. It's like China. The government controls everything. This constellation is supposed to have 17-plus satellites in orbit by 2035, and they want to become operational before the end of the year. They did their second launch. It brings their total satellites in orbit up to 31. They're far away from an operational constellation. And their pace is really slow, as Russia's normally is. So by the time it's operational, it's going to be really obsolete. One of the things about it is this second launch, they've only done two. The second launch, Russia issued multiple flight plans covering a period of 24 hours. And this was, I think, designed to prevent the Ukraine from targeting the launch with drones. In fact, the previous launch was delayed a day because of a drone threat. The Ukraine considers this constellation a direct military threat because it's a Starlink design and they're at war. And they appear to have attempted to use drones to attack the launch site, Plesetsk, in the northeast Russia, in early in launches. So Russia is now hiding when it's going to launch somewhat to protect its launches. We'll see how this plays out. But Russia's in trouble in its war with Ukraine. The best thing it could do is stop, give up, step out, let Ukraine go on its own way.
Bob, the right way, the wrong way, the Russian way, okay?
Yeah, I understand.
Proverb always works. Okay, the UK, I don't know what we can do anything. This is Mother Britain, but Bob, they have lost the trail.
Yeah, they have. And I'm just continually noting these facts on Behind the Black so the readers can understand the reality in foreign countries. And in the case of the UK, things are not good. They announced a project in 2019 to launch a servicing satellite to remove dead satellites from orbit, get rid of space junk. And they said they would announce a contract award to one of two different companies in the spring of this year. Well, the UK missed that deadline. They did not announce a final contract award. The contract is, by the way, years behind schedule. They're actually supposed to have done this in 25, and nothing ever happened. There's a lot of confusion in the UK. The Labour government has shut down the UK Space Agency. It's consolidating it into another agency. So one of the reasons this contract was an issue is probably because there's just chaos and confusion as the Labour government rearranges deck chairs. The other thing is that it's not doing anything about the red tape in the UK, which is discouraging private companies from being there. It's very possible these two startups did not submit bids because there's no point working with the UK because you've got regulations up the wazoo. So anyway, another bad indicator of the future of the UK, and it ain't good.
Companies have failed. Space Force had failed. Now the government fails with the space agency. It has to be deliberate, Bob. It has to be some prejudice somewhere in the government.
Well, it's a prejudice against private enterprise. One, it's a favorite to government agencies. They want to send money to their own bureaucrats. It's just the mentality is wrong.
And not all of Europe has it. It's peculiar in the United Kingdom. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. Your $2 or $3 or $4 a month subscription, whatever you can, it most supports the mystery of the United Kingdom and spaceports. We have to solve this. Bob's on the case. There's somewhere out there is an explanation, maybe in the new government. When we come back, we've got some serious exploring to do of an exoplanet that looks promising. And it's less than 50 light years away. Easy. I'm John Batchelor.